Welcome to Big Blue United Podcast. My name is TJ. I'm here with Dan and Colin. Very special Wednesday night podcast. I think this is the first time we've done this. Second time, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So you'd notice my background's all different. I got various businesses going on behind me.
Important documents.
Maybe just one business.
T-shirts.
Documents.
Boxes full of wires, as everyone needs in their life.
Questionable posters from the 1930s.
Oh, we have plenty of those too here at Teddy's Bar and Grill.
Historic Bar and Grill.
Historic Bar and Grill. Hey guys, as usual, please follow Big Blue United on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You follow us BBU Podbus the Z on Twitter. Our sponsor is once again Butcher Box. Great delivery service for meats to your door. Meats to your door. I mean, that sounds like that should be the tagline, right? Meats
to your door. I think so.
Butcher Box, meats to your door. But anyway, like, they have really good stuff, well priced, very convenient. Highly recommend it. We all
high
really
quality.
Enjoy what we got. Very high quality, and the price is right, because it costs $11 for a small thing of strawberries at the grocery store now. You know what I'm saying?
Joe
check
Biden.
Out butcherbox.com. Save yourself. Oh, check out some money. Joe Budden, more like it. Pump it up.
Oh yeah. Nice.
But did you see that Trump tweet where he said Joe Budden? I was like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he wrote Joe Budden instead of Joe Biden. I was like,
Was it spelled the right way too?
Yeah. No, he only wrote 1D, unfortunately.
Oh, damn it.
Instead of 2. I know. It would have been cooler if he had got the spelling right, but you know. Yeah. Anyway, let's jump into some Giants stuff, guys. Actually, I want to jump into the kickoff change first. I know this is something that you guys liked. I've been watching some videos of it. It's growing on me. Tell me more about what's going on. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, I'm one of those freaks that watched as much XFL as I possibly could, because I liked the idea of football continuing into the spring. So whenever it was on, I just caught some here and there. And that was one of the components of their special teams, was that they were, I mean, you have to say XFL has done some incredible things for the NFL over the years, whether it's the cameras on the wires and the guys on the field, and stuff like that. He hate me, Rod Smart. I wonder how he's doing nowadays. But yeah, the kickoff idea is pretty damn interesting. Mostly because it will finally bring back a play in a game that has technically so little amount of actual live action
impact,
where it will actually come back and there'll be chances for scoring when it was usually an automatic touchback. So
yeah, it gives you an extra, I don't know, 6 plays a game that you'll watch
At
minimum. And I'm interested because for whenever there was a penalty on like an extra point, and then it'd be like the penalty will be, effective on kickoff. And it's like, okay, no one cares. I wonder how the penalties will be applied to the new format of kickoff. I don't even know. I haven't done any research, but there's going to have a couple of effects on the game, I think.
Well, for one, that you have to declare if you're going to do an onside kick now, which is kind of interesting.
You can't do a fake onside kick anymore?
There's going to be no more surprise onside kicks.
Did they pass the rule as well where you can only do it at certain times of the game? I know that was up in the air.
I didn't see that. I think,
it's irrelevant if you have to declare it. Yeah.
I think this is a trial for a year anyway.
It is. You're right about that. Yeah. You'll have to vote on it again next year. Mm-hmm. But it should be interesting. And I think you're right. I just think it's, things like this to change a game, like when they add another game too. Like, I'm one of these people who like records and stuff like that. So I think it sort of dilutes things to some degree. Not that I dislike it. I just want to play devil's advocate. But you have like guys, Deion Sanders and your Devin Hesters and, Dante Halls and Brandon Mitchells of the world. And it's just a different thing now. So, I guess the game evolves as it does. It's just, you have to take this into consideration for the younger generation.
What I would like is they're constantly changing the rules so much. There aren't eras anymore. Like there was the 12-game era, the 14-game era, the 16-game era, which was the longest running one. And now it's 17 and they're talking about 18. That's where the records start to get a little screwed up, because what's the eras anymore? There's no 10-year span of like who did what in that time. So I hope that they figure it out to the point where there's a satisfaction where you can go 10, 20 years of the exact same rules with, here and there it can change, but like, these are some big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that the most impactful rule changes have been happening to the defensive side of the ball with,
well,
you know, the new drop tackle rule, which again, like, the spirit of it is good, but I don't know how that's going to be enforced, how they're going to make that call. It's going to be super subjective. It's a swivel and a loss of, and, you know, taking what, I forgot the exact word they use, but like loss of weight or weightlessness. Like you get rid of your weight and you use your weight to bring them down. Like figuring this out is going to cause, it's going to be impossible. No one's going to be happy. Defenses are already unhappy. It's just at a certain point, you can't litigate out,
you know, what I potential heard injury. Talking head say, it's, why would you bother investing in your front seven now because of this? Which, yeah, I think is way a huge overreaction, but yeah, it's just, and you know, I think people are making a bigger deal out of this than it actually is, because I think it's not the typical tackle people are thinking of. I think there's more steps to it. From what I read, it said that there would only been like 10 penalties on this last year. Yeah. So I think it's, and I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense, just because I know it's all about protecting the helmet. When by that, I mean your head.
Well, that's where the tackle came from anyway, is because we're protecting the head so much, they had to figure out a different way to tackle people. So they invented this way, and they're like, nope, not that way either.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just about to say, this is inevitably going to force guys to use more of a head-on tackling kind of method, which will increase the injuries to the tackler. And who knows, it could to the tacklee as well. I mean,
you know what this is going to do?
What?
Create demand for Jason Sehorn to teach his tackling style. It's the leg swap.
It was swap, the ankle slap.
Yeah, the old ankle slap. Rarely works, but totally legal.
Hey, that guy was pretty good until
we
he
don't
wasn't.
Give Sehorn enough credit. We make too much fun of him for his tackling, but he was good.
Yeah, he was. He was very good.
Before there was Cooper John, there was Jason Sehorn. You know. That's true. There's only like a 30-year difference in between when they played.
Craziness.
Wow. All right, guys. Let's talk about, I think we want to talk about, you know, what happened in free agency and how that's sort of going to affect our draft strategy. So I know last week we sort of went over quite a few guys. I'll just list them off again. Offensive line, we had John Runyon, Jermaine Elamunor, Brian Burns on the side of the defense, Drew Lock, quarterback, Devin Singletary is the new running back. Presumably they'll draft somebody. Jalen Mills. Last week, we did not mention Aaron Stinney, who is another offensive lineman. Chris Manhurts. I like that. That's a good name, right? Mm-hmm. He hurts men. Tight end, Jack Stoll, tight end. Another Austin Schultman, offensive tackle. Matt Nelson, another offensive lineman, versatile guy. And then they brought back, I didn't even realize they brought back Darnay Holmes, but that's cool.
Well, yeah. And Hodgins.
Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah.
Signed Isaiah McKenzie.
Which... I did just one thing on Hodgins, just because I saw it yesterday, the deal, or earlier today, rather, the deal significantly made him more affordable, because since he was a restricted free agent, the signing bonus would have been much more, something like that, like a real front of the signing structure. It would have been more on our book. So it was actually very, very shrewd on Joe's part. So I like it.
He got a lot of depth, I thought, especially offensive line wise, for veteran minimum deals, which was good. I think, like, basically, other than, you know, the bigger names that they signed early in free agency, Darnay Holmes got 1 year, $2 million. Mm. Everybody else got vet minimum. And I think that, you know, some of the moves they made were good. I like, obviously, you know, the two tight ends they brought in are all blocking guys. Stinney was a guy who started for the Bucks, won the Super Bowl with them. He you know, he's not going to start. He's good depth. I just appreciate them sort of.
Yeah.
Cleaning house, or rather, they will clean house when they have to, but they're really bringing in a lot of people to compete in the line with a new coach. You'd have to imagine it'll be better than it has been.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there we have a bench now, at least for our offensive line. You know, it's not like, oh, one guy goes down, we need to like train a tight end to play guard. You got to feel a lot more confident about where that is and where the team building is going. And it's cool to see. You know, none of us were upset about letting McKinney or Saquon go. And so it's awesome that they sort of slam dunk that salary cap space into parlaying into signing a big player like Brian Burns, but also making the team a real actual team that has people that can actually play when it counts. I love that they signed five some odd offensive linemen. And I think that that'll make things a little bit more interesting for the draft as well for us.
And the restructuring of Sexy Dexy's contract was interesting in this whole relation of things, because I forget exactly what it was. It could have been more of a restructuring.
They converted $10 million of his base salary into signing bonus that created $7.5 million in cap space.
And right now we have like 8.3 or something before
between another 8 and 10, depending on where you look. Yeah,
exactly. And Andrew Thomas is the next one to get restructured, and then you can open up a little bit more there. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm honestly shocked that they haven't signed a cornerback yet.
Yeah,
there's not really very many. I mean, there's actually a few cornerbacks left, defensive interior too, that I'm shocked they haven't signed. There's not a lot of guys out there, but cornerback especially. Do you guys think they'll make any more moves in free agency, or are we just drafting at this point?
I think it would be low level.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, what was his name? The dude from Buffalo that we
were. Tredavious.
Yeah. White. So he signed with the Rams too. Mm-hmm. And I think the deal was a 1 year, $5 million. So that signifies that we are not looking to spend much at all. So it'd probably be backup caliber.
Yeah.
People, especially specifically for cornerbacks. But I don't think anything splashy. I don't think there's anyone out there that would be splashy.
Adoree Jackson's still available.
That's interesting.
Yeah, maybe a lot of these guys are, I mean, and they're not old, but they're kind of old.
If you're Adoree Jackson, though, are you doing the thing where you don't sign with anyone and wait for someone to get injured during the season and go for like way more money than you'd go otherwise?
There's quite a few of those guys left, though, and some of them are better than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the name that's funny to me that I saw? JC Jackson. You remember when he was like the best cornerback in football? And he signed San Diego and just absolutely vanished. No one will sign him now. He was like, he's like 3 years off signing like the biggest deal for cornerback in the NFL history. It's pretty funny. It's just funny that people fall off so quickly. But I mean, the cornerback wise, there's people out there. I believe that, you know, I agree with you, Dan. The Giants are probably not looking to win the Super Bowl again this year. So why, you know, go out and spend money on a 31-year-old guy? Let's just be honest with ourselves. I know it's ridiculous to mention this already, but I don't think it's going to happen this year, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I don't either, but I think this is like all about, I'm just picturing the, you know, the boardroom moron talk with, the king moron who owns the whole team and like explaining to him what the plan is. And I'm sure it's just all about hammering like core positions. Let's get better on the positions that are clearly what's going to help us win games that we wouldn't win otherwise. And that starts with up front on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So like actually adhering to the, you know, the belly boy aspect of things and actually, you know, do what everybody else does in the league. If we're going to have mediocre back end, whether it's, you know, offensive backfield or defensive backfield, then okay, let's start up front and then work our way back in the coming years.
And everyone knows that if you want to make it to the Super Bowl, you just can't trade anyone at the trade deadline, right? That's all you need to do.
What a ridiculous thing to say. John Mara is an idiot. Really is.
I don't want to make it look like we're throwing the season away. Well, you went into the season with a trash roster, so you started it that way. So
you made trash hires in your front office who have made trash personnel decisions. The last time you were in the playoffs is when you stopped. Yeah. You know, you hired two guys and said you're not going to do anything football-wise.
Yeah. Someone's got to be just like John, trust me, you're 1-7. No one thinks you're making it to the Super Bowl this year. No one's going to be like, oh, they made a trade. That means they're not going for it. Idiot.
I mean, you'd have to, like, how delusional do you have to be to, like, does he think, you know, I know, literally, like, we're sitting here, like, we're not going to win the Super Bowl next year. John Mara would, like, he'd probably be mad at me for saying that.
Yeah, he would.
I wish he was on this podcast right now. I'd be like, you have $1 billion. Go fuck off somewhere and let somebody else who knows what they're doing run this football team. Please, for the love of God.
I think just talking about cornerbacks and the interesting aspect of how we may not sign of anyone of, you know, starting quality. I think the first round, the first and second round is more wide open than, you know, the three of us have been thinking with our mock drafts and like our conversations and stuff and how we're hammering the quarterback and possibly wide receiver. I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised, depending on how it works out, if we go like cornerback at six. because of this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just preparing myself for, because we always get to this point in the off season where we're convinced. You're like, all right, yeah, this is how it has to go. It's obvious. Look at the roster. This is how it has to go.
Yeah.
And this is when we get so surprised.
I would have a hard time being okay with taking a cornerback, though.
I wouldn't be okay with it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised by it.
I just don't think the value is there in this draft.
Sure.
Unless we trade down. Into like
yeah, I was gonna say if somebody wants if like McCarthy's there and somebody really wants him and they go up at six, then we could go down and get a cornerback, fine. But at that point, if you're not going quarterback, you got to pick one of those wide receivers.
Yeah,
it's crazy if you don't.
They're too good.
I would just be upset. You know?
Yeah.
When was the last time we had like Odell Beckham hasn't been on the team in what, a decade? Maybe. Yeah. It's just crazy.
You got to let Drew Lock cook, baby.
Yeah,
you gotta give him some tools.
A number one receiver, especially if Darren Waller retires. You know, did you guys watch his rap videos?
I saw one Instagram story that he posted, and he is the biggest chode of all time.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, you know, like dog food is what comes to mind when I hear those rhymes.
That's his rhymes. Those
sounds
rhymes.
Like dog food. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Drake Light, and that sucks. Mm.
Oh God, that's like the worst thing I've ever heard. That's like the worst insult you could ever tell somebody. You're Drake Light.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's like the softest guy that ever rapped.
Well, I mean, is there a timeline? I don't even know. He's got to say something soon. You'd think, right?
Are we able to save money if he retires anymore? Or is that window closed? I don't know. I haven't been keeping track.
I don't know. I don't even care. I just want him off.
Yes, you can
yeah.
Save money,
every time I'm just hoping.
Significant.
Yeah,
he's off June 1st. Yeah. I mean, he'll be. I do think he'll be back. And I know Colin and I talked about this last week. Anyway, it's like Bellinger can start. And again, like, I don't know. The more I think about this, the more I'm like, we need to trade up to number three.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to do it, and I hope that. The Commanders, you know, don't pick Drake May, because I think that would be the most ideal person to be a quarterback in the New York Giants.
They might go JJ McCarthy.
I was hearing that too, but you never know about all this stuff at this time of year, you know?
Yeah, I know.
JJ McCarthy stuff is getting out of hand, I think.
A little bit.
I don't know.
Nobody's stock has rose this fast or hard as a quarterback. Yeah.
Hey. Eight. You know what? I love that narrative. Like, if the Vikings trade up for JJ McCarthy at four, it's like a really good move. But if the Giants picked him at six, it's just like getting Daniel Jones 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means. Like, is he good or is he not good?
People love the situation in Minnesota. They like, I forgot the head coach's name. He comes from the McVay tree and he's done a good job. And they like that they already have offensive weapons at every position. So it's a conducive environment for a quarterback that has, you know, the skills that JJ McCarthy has, the talent that's yet to be seen, but it's an environment that would be ideal to.
So wait, are you trying to say that if Daniel Jones was on the Vikings, he would also be good?
No,
no, no one thinks that.
People do think that, Dan.
A lot of Giants people. Twitter thinks that.
Yeah.
Giants Twitter. Everyone's, I hate when you click on those clickbaity tweets where it's like, you know, these players went in the first five picks. Like, this quarterback's on the board. Like, should we take him? And every response is like, we already have our quarterback. Like, just explode yourself. Just
explode yourself.
I don't care what you do, like, on a day-to-day basis. You are worthless if that's your response to those tweets.
Well, what is the draw? What is the...
Where has he earned this?
Yeah.
Where has he earned this in the fan base to be so ride or die?
He's just on the team. That's it. That's all.
So is Tyrod Taylor, and he played awesome, and no one cared about him.
One of the responses was one of those really stupid tweets was someone just wrote, "Give him another 6 to 8 years."
I love that.
I love this point. That's like we've seen six, or is it 5 years or 6 years? I don't even remember. Will be 6 years now.
Yeah. Trash.
Well, how much more do you need to see?
He's garbage.
Like, before he's tried.
Other teams also move off their quarterback. Like Kenny Pickett is gone. Justin Fields is gone. You know, I can't even list all the quarterbacks that have gotten 2 years and they're like, doesn't have it.
Yep.
See ya. But I mean, no. We got to build the perfect environment for sweet baby Daniel Jones from Duke.
Oh, even if you want to just look at the cap space thing, show me a team that wins a Super Bowl with a quarterback not on a rookie contract who's not top two or top three.
Yeah. You need to have a top five quarterback if he's getting paid that much.
Yes.
No, not question, not subjective. Objectively, a top five quarterback if you're going to be making that much money. You can't build a team otherwise.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, well, luckily the deal that they signed, barring injury, will be not too painful next year.
Yeah. I'm just hoping we get a quarterback some way that is good. And so the three of us can just devote a lot of time to like graphic effects, like video editing, just make hundreds of different videos of blasting Daniel Jones to the moon, just all sorts of different ways, different rocket ships, different methods for exploding him there.
You know, I'd like, you know, it'd be more satisfying seeing him in person, shaking his hand, saying, "Thank you for your service. Now get the hell out of here." And then just watch him sulk with his no emotion face out the door.
I think thanks for nothing is more appropriate.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Thanks for nothing.
Thanks for like 5-6 years of, you know, me trying to enjoy football and you fucked it up. Thanks, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
You know, I wish he just at least had, he could suck as much as he has, but I wish he was interesting.
No. Yeah. Least interesting guy. He likes country music a lot, and he's a biggest
Zach Bryan fan, who's also an Eagles fan. Why do you keep showing up and singing on stage, you big joke?
Oh, what a nerd.
Yeah.
Really don't like
that
guy.
Did you see that, like, the fake DM convo between a girl that supposedly dated Daniel Jones? And
yes.
I guess it's fake or whatever, but I will say I've known a few people from North Carolina, a few dudes, and they often use the terminology trash when discussing people from the North.
Really?
They often. Oh yeah. I had roommates from college from North Carolina, and they would refer to, you know, trashy people from the North as trashy people.
Oh, that's ironic.
Yeah. So the nomenclature struck me as real. Mm. Essentially.
I mean, maybe he met a few of the girls I dated before my wife.
All trash.
He wouldn't be wrong. Yeah. Did you guys hear about the Tommy DeVito rule?
What's that?
That you can have a quarterback on your practice squad that can play in the game as an emergency quarterback.
What?
Is it the Tommy DeVito rule?
I mean, that's what I want to call it. But yeah, apparently, like, you can have a practice squad guy like be available for your emergency quarterback on your roster
without bringing him up and
without
dropping
having
a guy
him
down.
Having to be elevated. Yeah. Yes.
Wow, that's kind of cool, actually.
I guess, you know, if they want to, they're very upset because I guess last year the point total went down. So they really, you know, don't want the situation where Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey has to be your quarterback.
Yeah. You're right. This is a John Mara using his weight in the league office for something super important, like keeping the cash cow that is Tommy DeVito on the team by changing the rules. You're right.
Well, it's funny you say that about John's weight, because the kickoff rule apparently was a big push from him. He was able to flip some votes around, I guess. Some of the teams that were going the other way actually turned around and said, sure, and that's how it got passed. And
man, if I had to, do you know how expensive it would be to change the turf in MetLife Stadium? Let's just change this play so that dudes won't get hurt on my field as much.
You read that too? You read that garbage?
No, I'm just making that up.
it was an article that just came out a couple of days ago. Someone asked him, what about the grass, John? What about the grass? And he was just like, well, you know, there's two teams in the stadium, and we tried it in 99 through 2001, and it just cost too much money.
Yeah.
So until the weather changes in the tri-state area and, you know, the late season games, it's just – You guys have so much money, you could figure it out. Just figure it out.
They'll do it for the World Cup, but they won't do it for their own team.
Well, he had an argument for that. That's different grass. That's very specific grass for that sport. Okay, so get specific grass for this sport.
Yeah. Doesn't Miami drive in their grass brand new for every game?
Do they?
Yeah, did you not see that on Hard Knocks or whatever?
They were also, like, one of the top teams on, like, the players voting who were the best teams were.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was a whole segment
play for
in Hard Knocks where Tua went to go visit their like what field guys, and they have a whole you know hundreds of acres, you know, 30 minutes away, where they just harvest grass and then bring it to the stadium on huge 18 wheelers and put it down for every home game.
Wow,
just fresh grass.
So it wait, so the interesting part about that is, and going back to the John conversation is. The reason that it didn't work the first time is that the grass wasn't it was in trays. So like multiple trays and it couldn't bind together. So it was very sloppy. So I'm curious to see or know how Miami does that, because if it's new every week, that's wild.
I think this technology has come a long way in the past 25 years too. Mm. So
but John has
John's sample size of 2 years, 25 years ago. I don't know how much weight that holds.
None.
Yeah.
Did you, can we stick on John Mara real quick? Did you know that John Mara texted Saquon and cried?
Yeah.
Did you guys read that one?
I read that one. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That was real. Saquon, why'd you go to the Eagles and he cried?
Yeah.
For real?
I don't know. But that's what I'm reporting.
That's how I interpreted it too.
You know, oh God, enough with John. Let's talk about the team, because he's not apparently. Hey, he did say when he was asked about quarterbacks being drafted this draft that he would sign off on whatever Dable and Shane decide to
they
do,
including
quarterbacks being drafted. So,
but I still believe in Daniel Jones.
You know, he had to throw that in there.
I know. Listen, I believe in Drew Lock too. Like, but we still should draft a quarterback.
Well. Let's
talk more about this. Like, do you think the Giants will trade up? Do you think let's talk about the three scenarios that are possible here? One being the Giants trade up, two being the Giants, someone falls to them at six, and the last scenario being, you know, they either trade up back into the late first or somebody lands in the second, whether it's a Penix or you know, whoever else, Spencer Rattler or one of those guys, you know, later rounds. What do you think? What do you think is gonna happen? Just throw some mud on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead. My position has changed on this recently. I was sort of convinced that they have to get a quarterback with the sixth pick or, you know, that first round draft equity because of the situation and because of the time it buys them. But the more I hear about the quarterbacks and their deficiencies, meaning Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy and the type of quarterback they are, I don't think based on how Joe Shane has run drafts before that they will use the sixth pick on a quarterback they're not totally sold on, and I'm not sure they're totally sold on him. I think they will look to Brian Dable's performance and coaching the hell out of Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito and say, well, there's these guys with skills that blow those guys out of the water that are going to be available in the second and third round. We have surefire legit number one wide receivers available, choice of three different styles. You know, if you don't get Marvin Harrison, I don't think anyone's gonna be upset with Malik Nabers or Adunze. Just in any other draft, those guys would be the second pick, you know, outside of the number one quarterback for that year, I think. My take is, with how this is shaking out, with all this talk about four quarterbacks in a row up top, I don't think they're gonna trade up unless Drake May is available at three. That's the only thing I'm trying to figure out how they would know that, how they can get there. There was a quote from Shane about, you know, the relationships, and it's all about the relationship they have and talking to each other. I think they do have a good relationship with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. If for some reason Washington takes Jaden Daniels, I think they should give whatever they can to the Patriots, who, the more I hear, might not be in the market for a quarterback with all the holes they have. They have Jacoby Brissett. It's the first year for new management. They don't need to buy. Like, basically, the clock starts ticking once they get a quarterback. If they just try to build out the team, rely on a proven entity in Jacoby Brissett and build out the rest of the roster and the offense, you know, they'll be in a good position to win games this year and then look at quarterback in the next couple of years because it's a brand new. So, that being said, either trade up for Drake May at three or get the best wide receiver of those three at six and then take a look at Penix in the second, or Rattler, or your boy Joe Milton. I would even, you know, I'd take him a couple rounds early if they think he's got, you know, the processing power that they need.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it, I don't know, this might have been in the last week or so. I don't know if it was the same for you, Dan, but like, yeah, I was for a while thinking quarterback at six or automatically trading up at three with the Pats too. But yeah, the more that I think about it as well is like just the fact that the wide receiver is right there. If you pass up on someone like that, and it's a big hole on our roster in terms of a real true game changer. And like, we have the coach to develop quarterbacks. Get someone with more talent than the quarterback room right now, and I feel like Dable would have a field day. He would love to do that. And Joe Milton, like we discussed earlier, is someone, I mean, his pro day was absurd. His arm is insane.
Yeah.
And the worry about his processing is the biggest thing, but that's where you draft a guy in the third or fourth and then just see if you, yeah, don't have to pay him a whole lot of money in the next couple of years and see if you can develop him. And then all of a sudden you have a, you know, the riches, you're spoiled with how your roster looks all of a sudden. And you just need to get that quarterback worked up. So I would be, I don't know. I feel like trading up is less and less plausible
right
by the day.
I think that's informed by some of the free agency moves we made. Yep. I guess the Brian Burns trade, which that two picks in the second round was a huge part of our ability to move up to make that,
yes,
move. And so it signals that barring something significant, we're not trading up.
And on top of that, yeah, what if for some reason, we don't like one of the 1A or 2 level wide receivers? I know, Dan, you said this recently with all the free agencies, moves with the offensive line. I wouldn't hate getting the second best offensive lineman or the first best at 6'2", and just saying, screw it, we're going full in to this line right now, which, you know, it's boring. It's not the sexy thing, yeah, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either.
I just don't want to spend more draft equity.
Yeah.
On
and money officially, effectively.
I mean, honestly,
yeah, well, no,
I mean,
not to trade up. I mean, at six.
No, that's fine. I understand that. I'm just saying,
but you're not going to be able to afford those linemen altogether in 3 years.
If it fixes the line for a decade, I would do it. I just don't think that. I think that there's some other needs. I think there's stop gaps that can be put in place for these guys. I think you already have your franchise left tackle. You drafted a center last year who had a bad year, but he's a rookie, so we'll see how that goes. You know, I don't think you're going to have to pay Evan Neal. But I don't know. I like picking up guys in free agency on the line. I like what they did there. I just don't see them going offensive line, maybe at all in the draft, especially considering, you know, they still need a cornerback. They still need a defensive interior. And, you know, whether or not they trade up to get a quarterback, pick one at six or go in a later round. I just think there's too many other needs at this point to see first.
This is the best player available method that we've seen so much.
I'm not against it. Yeah.
But, you know, according to the best player available, this draft is historically loaded at offensive lines, particularly tackle and guard, a center too, any position, and wide receiver. I think you can get legitimate first year starters in the second round at both wide receiver and offensive line. It's just, where's that premium blue chip, you know?
Yeah.
And exactly what TJ said. According to the equity we already put into offensive line, taking wide receiver at six over tackle makes sense. And then you can still get a starter in the interior in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm curious what they do. You know, I mean, the whole draft is going to be very interesting. I think, you know, I text you guys, I think this is one of the more exciting ones in the recent memory, just because of all the talent, number one, and number two. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of movement, especially at the top of the draft. I don't think people are going to sit pat. I know the guy who the GM of the Cardinals loves to trade down. We'll see how that goes. I mean, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, you'd imagine he goes to them, but maybe the Patriots like him. Maybe they see him as a guy that Jacoby Brissett can open up to and open up his, you know, career, or his, you know, maybe he can have a career year with a guy like that. You never know.
Yeah. It's just nuts. The amount of wide receiver talent and the similar, the JJ McCarthy thing that I feel like the Malik Nabers narrated as being ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. is plausible. Now there's a lot of people saying that he's the number one wide receiver and Marvin Harrison will be there at six. It's just your pick your flavor, I guess.
That's a no brainer. Yeah. I mean, they can both go and then you end up with Rome and that's fine too.
Which is crazy.
It's just like
if they both go, we can probably get a quarterback.
That's it. That's it right there.
That's true. That's true.
It's kind of a win-win situation, which just that whole conversation right there makes me think we're not moving at all.
All right. Here's my question.
Yeah.
So barring a trade up, we're not getting Drake May. Mm-hmm. And all this hype about JJ McCarthy. What I want to know from each of you. What do you guys tell yourself? How do you guys, what's the narrative in your head that you're selling yourself on JJ McCarthy? How do you get pumping yourself up for taking him if he's available at six? Like, what are you telling yourselves?
I mean, the whole talk about being the pro style ready to go, has everything that you need for a quarterback in the NFL. Unfortunately, didn't get the opportunity to show every single thing, but from everybody that talks about him, it seems that it's there and he's a true leader and he won the national championship last year. So, or this year rather. And the fact that there's a reason his stock is rising this far, you know, I mean, when we first started talking about this, I mean, was he always a first rounder consideration?
No.
No,
he was second, maybe third.
There's got to be a reason for that. I know that a lot of it, there's a lot of puff pieces and a lot of things that would make someone look a little more valuable than others. But you haven't really seen something quite like this in a long time. So, I mean, I don't know if I would be like jumping for joy, excited if we pick him, but I'd be like, all right, that's solid. And it makes a lot more sense than Daniel Jones at six.
What about you, TJ? How do you sell yourself on the idea of JJ McCarthy?
I mean, I don't want to, but if I have to, you know, obviously he's got an arm. He's an athlete. Good. You know, what I like about him, he's like intangibles, I guess you could say. Like, he's clutch. Like, he comes through. He's got a lot of those things that quarterbacks, like, you can't put your finger on. That's what I like about him. I think alternatively, I think he does suffer from like kind of a raw IQ. Which I think is going to hinder him in the next level. And, you know, I think Michigan also had a really run heavy offense too. So I think that sort of takes a little bit off of what he can do. Maybe like on a team like the Giants, who kind of need somebody who can basically will the offense in those moments. You know, one, he has the clutchness too. Was that, you know, predicated on a lot of play action run game stuff? Can he really put the team on his back at the next level? I don't know. But, well, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. If he puts on some weight, too, I think I'd like it more. He's a little small. I think he'll get jacked up a bit in the NFL. If he could put some weight on before the draft and they drafted him at six, I wouldn't be, like, upset about it. I wouldn't be, like, hyped, though, if you know what I mean. But I think he's got an arm, and he can make shit happen, like, in the clutch. And I think those two things are important in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dan, sell us.
Yes. No, similar to what both of you guys said. It's the untapped potential, the fact that he didn't get the opportunities that raised a lot of questions, like why wasn't he throwing in college? But my sort of it's not a direct argument against that, but what I did hear about Michigan players, generally speaking, is that they're more pro ready than any other college players coming out because of John Harbaugh. Harbaugh. Yeah, but so it comes back to that everyone touts his raw athletic ability. He makes pro style throws into tight windows when he does throw. He's made a bunch of throws like that. And back to Dable, if those abilities are true and real, then no one is going to be better, in my opinion, at getting that out of him based on what he's done previously than Brian Dable. But then I started thinking about that a lot, like all this raw ability, raw skills. And it also describes Spencer Rattler, who a lot of people are saying, you know, regardless of all the quarterbacks in here, like he's got the best arm, like the ball comes out of his hand like nobody else. And he's got this like insane chip on your shoulder story of being the number one quarterback, you know, 6 years ago, and being the number one basic player coming to college ball, getting Caleb Williams on the same team, ousting him from his starting position, then having to transfer to South Carolina and play there. This guy I didn't like personally when I watched him on QB1. He seemed like a real jerk, but he also seemed to be ultra competitive and sort of like an anti-Daniel Jones. So if I'm going full hater mode, let's get like this dirtbag guy from Arizona to come in and just eviscerate Daniel Jones would be sort of cool.
I mean, is he a dirtbag? Is he like an actual dirtbag?
He reminded me a lot of like kids we went to high school with, like wearing a chain, being like just like talking smack all the time.
Yeah.
Is his favorite band Wheatus?
Yeah, I guarantee you he doesn't know who Wheatus is.
Yeah.
But there's like a bunch of like documentaries on Wheatus for like the writing of Teenage Dirtbag, which is weird. Hilarious. There's like, I see it all over the time, all over the place. But yeah, I think you have to sell yourself ultimately. Like the one thing that I have to tell myself is they interviewed him and they saw something in the way he plays that leads me to believe that he's able to read a defense and process quickly and get to second and third reads and create on his own in a real way. Cause that's what we've been missing. Like, yeah. I don't care if he doesn't throw the ball over 20 yards, but as long as he gets through his progression, I'm tired of just having the defense know where the ball's going every play.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I'd almost be like happier if we got Penix in the late first or second round, even though, you know, obviously the age and injury history stuff, everyone talks about that, but I actually see him sort of as a better prospect than McCarthy to some degree.
Mm.
Just like, I mean, you know, I've watched some shit and I'm sorry, I keep cursing guys. I watched some stuff and then mostly I forget what the bowl game was last year, but he crushed it. He looked great. You know, either way. Yeah. I hope the Giants draft a quarterback. I don't care if it's the first round, but it has to happen. If it doesn't happen, that's really the thing that would piss me off the most in this draft is that if they didn't draft a quarterback.
Yes. All. Yes.
That's like the only way I could leave with being like very upset. I feel like
I'd put money down to say that we will draft one in rounds 1 to 3.
That's fair. Anything else you guys want to touch on tonight?
I'll just say when I've been doing my mock drafts now after free agency, my intent on getting a guard or center or a versatile, you know, flex play offensive lineman in the second, third rounds is dissipated, and we're able to get more interesting skill position players or cornerbacks or wide receivers in those rounds. So that's made mocking a lot more interesting, though there is like great value at the, you know, with the first pick and the second that we have.
Yeah.
Offensive line. I think I'm comfortable rolling with all these like sort of proven commodities we have at the guard position next year. And, you know, only having the question mark be Evan Neal while getting, you know, impact players at key positions like cornerback, wide receiver, edge rusher, tackle. There's some good tackles we can get, D tackles we can get in the second round.
Well, that I was just about to say, like all my mocks, like without even trying, it seems that I'm always going with a DT in the second.
We get Tre'Davious Sweat and
every time
Dexter Lawrence. That would be that. Eagles.
I've seen Tre'Davious Sweat in the fourth round in certain places. So I mean, you know, you can get him later. I like TJ Tampa in the second round because I just want to get his jersey.
Yeah,
me too.
Also, I'm pretty sure the T in TJ stands for Tampa.
That's it. Yes.
Is that true?
I think they said in his dad's name or his name. Yeah, I heard that. Tampa.
So Tampa, what's Tampa. The J stand for?
Junior.
Tampa Junior Tampa.
Obviously.
Yeah. That sounds like the name of like an indie band.
Yeah. Let's start it.
Tampa Junior Tampa.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. I want to open a beer bar and call it Hoppy Endings. What do you think of that?
Oh, that has to exist.
It has to exist.
Think it exists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should just name it Chode Burrito.
Be
a beer bar. Be like, do you guys have any burritos? Nope.
Oh, I had a band name today. I was going to text you guys. It's completely blanked on it. Damn it. It was good. Bastards.
Well, it's too late now. Don't remember anything.
Did you know there was a Mexican place in Hoboken called Chorritos, which is sort of like a chode burrito?
Yeah. Oh yeah, again, I mean, for those of you out there who don't know about Chode Burrito, that's my other business I'm working on. It's a business where I make burritos, but they are like the size of a chode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now which explain is what a same, chode is.
It's the same width and length.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's a it, it's a
good... could be any width and
square.
Length.
Square. Yeah, it's a square.
A cylinder, though, a cylindrical,
cylindrical square,
cylindrical square, man.
If you don't want a whole burrito, you can just have a chode burrito.
And you can cut it up easy.
Always get three tacos or one burrito, but like maybe I don't want a whole burrito. Maybe I just want like one taco, so I just get like one chode burrito.
That'd be great. Two tacos.
This is a good idea. I mean, the name probably needs to change, but it won't.
It's like, can I get my burrito chode style, please?
Exactly.
I'm watching my figure.
Anything else tonight, guys?
I think this is. It's going to be a very interesting draft, and it can't come soon enough. I mean, we got a month out. What's up?
I've got That's one funny. Thing. What's his name? It's Jermaine Illuminor. Is that how he says his last name?
Yeah,
something like that.
Who I'm very excited about. It's cool that he came from the Raiders with the offensive line coach.
Yep.
He's from the town right next to mine in New Jersey.
No
He's
shit.
From Denville, New Jersey.
Nice.
This is like 2 minutes from me. And he played high school football at Morris Knowles, which is like a nothing school.
By way of London, England, of course, but that's besides the point.
Manhurst is a Bronx guy. Too.
Is he?
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah. I'm also like the back end of the draft. Say we trade down, we accumulate some picks or whatever, like some late ones. Let's just fill it out with guys that are like New York guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Eli Jones.
Thanks for listening tonight, guys. You can follow us, Big Blue United, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, BB with Podboys with a Z on Twitter. Don't forget to check out butcherbox.com. And we'll see you maybe next week for some positional talk. Perhaps, I don't know.
Yeah.
Player selections.
How's that novel coming along?
What's that book you're working on?
Good night.
Goodbye.